surely not you or me, but sometimes that brings the joy down. Secondly, we really don't have the idea that he is with us personally all the time. The God of the universe is with us. I mean, you know, we know that the Bible says through the Holy Spirit that God is with us, but oh, come on now, is God really with us? Yeah. Might be a little scary for some of us to think about that, but God is really with us. And here's another one. When a lot of people think of God, they think of God as this angry father up in heaven who is just waiting to pay us back for something we've done. Right? And all this guilt comes in. So even as Christians, when we think about God, it decreases our enjoyment. The Westminster Catechism that was written hundreds of years ago, they had it together. This is what they say. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We know we're supposed to rejoice and glorify him, but he says we're supposed to enjoy him forever. Well, I'll just wait until heaven to enjoy him. No, now. Because he is with us as much now as he ever will be in heaven. Do you want me to say it again? God is as much with us right now as he ever will be in heaven, because he, the Holy Spirit, is in us. How can you get closer than that? We need to enjoy God. And when God's people start enjoying God, the world's going to take notice. Let's go on. Oh, by the way, the Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord again, and I say rejoice. In other words, we're supposed to enjoy God. Second thing that we can do to improve our relationship, our Christian walk. What impossible prayer can you pray in 2020? What impossible prayer that only God can do can we pray for in 2020? I want you to think about it. You know, Jesus made the comment, with God, all things are possible. Nah, not really. But you see, that's what we think. Nah, God won't do the impossible, right? You know, the thing, why should he do the impossible when you never expect that he will? So what impossible prayer can we pray in 2020? Ask God what you need to be praying for. Thirdly, what one thing can you do this year to improve your family life? Now, we know that the family is very, very important to God, right? Now, I'm not going to get specific about that, but I'm going to say, you know your family, and you as husbands and wives know the one thing that you can do to improve your family this year, and I'm going to ask you to do that. And as you improve your family, I think the closer we get to each other, the closer we get to God. So what one thing can you do in the new year to improve your family? Fourthly, what is one spiritual discipline would you desire to improve in 2020? Excuse me, I'm going to turn my phone off. I didn't turn the ringer off. Here I was going to ask everybody to do that, and I didn't do it myself. That'll fix that. What is one spiritual discipline that you would desire to improve in 2020? A few suggestions. How about your prayer life? Anybody want to say, oh me? How about your daily Bible reading? Here's one you might not have thought about. Get an accountability partner that you trust that will hold you accountable to your spiritual disciplines. Well, I don't need any help. That's a good sign you do. Find a spiritual accountability partner that will hold you accountable. I've got two elders who I told them to come after me. Ouch. They do a good job. And here's another spiritual discipline. How about simply just believing the Bible in what it says and applying it to your life? We try to spiritualize everything. We need to apply the Bible in our lives. And here's another one. What is the single greatest time waster that you have in your life that you can remove? Yes, that means Facebook. What is the single greatest time waster that you can remove? Last week, Jesus said, the first and most important commandment of all is to love God with all your body, mind, and soul. And he says to seek him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. What one thing keeps you from seeking God in the new year? That one thing you need to remove. Whatever it is, regardless of how dear it is to you, get rid of it. So you can approach God. And lastly, whose salvation will you pray for with the greatest passion and determination? Find one person that you will passionately pray for in the new year. So there's six things you can think about that would improve your spiritual life in the new year. Anybody interested in doing those things? Particularly the time waster? Again, like I've said so many times, when I'm pointing the finger, I've got three more coming right back at me, okay? Ouch. So folks, let's just focus on getting closer to God in the new year. Now I'm going to invite our musicians to come back and lead us into a couple more songs. We're going to John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. I'll just read. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. And it was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So, you listening? He got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. So before the Lord's Supper started, Jesus knew he was coming to the end of his ministry. He had done everything that God wanted him to do. On the next day, he was going to die. So what did he do? He simply took his robe off, wrapped a towel around him, and he went and washed the disciples' feet. Can you imagine that? The King of Glory washing people's feet. The lowest of the low of servanthood. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Well, John tells us. Well, actually, Jesus told us, verses 12 through 15. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked them, "Do you understand what I was doing?" Fair question. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." Now, I'm not going to start a weekly foot washing service. But I have been in a foot washing service before. It's the most humbling thing I have ever experienced. But the whole message there is ultimate humility. And Jesus, the Son of God, humbled himself to that low point. And he told you and I to do the same thing. Oh, but before he went on from there, he chose to expose somebody. verses 21 through 27. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back, asked Jesus, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, Judas Iscariot. Then after that, he had taken the morsel. Satan entered into him. Jesus said, "What you're going to do, do quickly." Jesus exposed his traitor just before the Lord's Supper was given. And then the next thing he does is gives us one of the clearest commands that we have in the Bible. Verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." A simple command, love one another. He did this just before the Lord's Supper. You see how important these things are? Now, we'll have a whole lot more to say about loving each other next week as we look at John 17. And then Jesus, in this same upper room before communion, gives us a snapshot of what's coming in the future. John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus tells his disciples before communion, he said, "Heaven's real. It's the Father's house. And I'm going to go prepare it for you. And I'm going to come and get you and take you where you can live with me." He told them that just before communion. It's interesting that he exposed his traitor and had him leave the room before he gave the promise of heaven. You know what? Why would he do that? It's because heaven is reserved for those who follow Jesus with a good heart. Have you made him your Lord and Savior? Do you follow Jesus with a clear, good heart? Because heaven is reserved for those who do. Oh, just in case you're interested in knowing how to be sure of heaven, Jesus tells them. John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the door. A lot of people think there's other ways to heaven. There's not. Only one. Jesus. If we come by him, heaven is our home. Oh, then he gives us a wonderful promise. Verse 12, "But most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." And listen to this one. "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." You see, Baptists don't normally believe this. Amen? Now, I'm not going to give any theological dodges to let poor old God off the hook here. Sometimes he allows things that we just don't understand. But Jesus clearly said, if you ask anything in my name, that the Father received glory from the Son, he'll do it. But you see, he told us that just before communion. But lastly, there's one other thing that he wanted to tell his disciples before they had communion. He knew it was going to be rough. He knew they were going to be persecuted. He knew that some of them, most of them, were going to die for their testimony. You and I have never reached that. And with that in mind, Jesus gives them this promise. Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Doesn't matter, listen closely, folks. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Doesn't matter what's going on in finances. Doesn't matter what's going on in our health. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. He says, I bring peace, my peace I give to you. One of the greatest promises in the Christian faith right there. That's why we can be at peace in the most dire circumstances. That was all before communion, on the same night. Then the Bible says that Jesus went over. He picked up a loaf and broke it, and he passed it out. Our musician's going to return again and sing one more song. And as we sing this song, I want you to think about, to put on silent or turned off, what I didn't do at the first of the service. Please stand and then come forward and take that back to your seat. And let's just reverence as we... See, we're going to participate in something here that unifies all Christianity. We may disagree about a lot of things in Christianity. There's one thing we can agree on. The Lord's Supper and the communion with the body of Christ all the way back to Jesus. So come forward and let's take it. We have a loaf today, so just take a part of that loaf.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Come with the load of care. Precious is Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything.
The Bible says that Jesus took the bread and lifted it to the Lord and blessed it. Let's just pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to commune with the body of Christ all the way back to Jesus and the body of Christ that will go into heaven. Lord, it's an extraordinary opportunity that you've given us. So may we just appreciate this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, take this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then Jesus took the cup, one of those things, it gets stuck sometimes. Then Jesus took the cup, said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The Bible said they sang a hymn and left. So what we're going to do, we're going to sing a hymn. My favorite hymn of all time. How great thou art. Please stand. After we get finished with this, we'll have a time of fellowship. Just enjoy.